Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll read verses 1 to 4, but our focus tonight will be on verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. As we go to God's word this evening, I want to ask you a question. And that question is, what is a family? What is a family? The reason why I ask you that question is because it will bring out something about your thinking regarding the family. Is it a collection of individuals who are related? Of course, in a sense, that's true. We couldn't deny that. But is that all that it is? A collection of individuals who are related by blood? Or is there something more? Particularly in the context of how God sees the family, is the family rather, in your understanding, a unit designed by God to wage war against the world and the devil for his glory? I would suggest that it is more, that it is not only a collection of individuals, but something that goes towards the latter as well. In our society and in our time, we have been so influenced by individualism that we sort of think of families as just a collection of individuals. But here in Ephesians, we have begun into this instruction about the family or the Christian household, and we've seen how husbands and wives are to work together for the glory of God and how that relationship is shaped by being in Christ, being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to go on now to speak of children and parents, and then later slaves and masters. And we'll see in future weeks how that applies. But here is the instruction to children and parents. And children, you can probably identify with this. Oftentimes, you naturally want to do what you want to do. Perhaps sometimes, according to your natural nature, you think about what you think you deserve more than what your duties are. Parents, in our culture, increasingly parents are thinking about themselves as sort of those who receive some sort of fulfillment through their children, and that's the primary thing about parenting. It's almost like a hobby, and the focus is not so much on their duties to God and to their children, but on how they can receive fulfillment from them. And perhaps you are affected by some of that. But Ephesians, as we have seen throughout this second half, cuts through that, and it cuts through that in a typically Christ-centered way. In the church, the parent-child relationship, or child-parent relationship, is to be lived out in and for the Lord. It's to be lived out in and for the Lord. So it's not primarily a sort of power struggle between children and parents. Nor is it primarily about getting your children to behave or fulfilling motherly desires, perhaps, or making your children even into well-adjusted adults as the primary result of these things. But primarily, this relationship is about the glory of Christ in your family. It's about the glory of Christ in your family. And so children are to honor their parents as those who belong to Christ. They're to do it for the Lord's sake, and they're to do it as those who will receive blessing in doing that. Parents are to aim at leading the heart of their children to Christ, so that together with their children they serve the Lord in all that they do as a family. And this evening, I particularly want to focus, as I've mentioned, on the duties of children, young people, and adults still living at home. Unquestionably, adults who have left the home still have certain duties to their parents. These duties, particularly to honor, goes on. But I want to focus tonight on those who are still in the home, because I think that's where this text is particularly driving, as it's a household code. So my title this evening is Christian Children, and my points are Christian Obedience, This Is Right, and The Blessing of Obedience. Christian Obedience, This Is Right, and The Blessing of Obedience. We read there earlier in the text, children, obey your parents. It's very clear command. But there's something distinct here. This is more than just bare submission or compliance. It says here that it is to be in the Lord. You are to obey, children, your parents, as one who is in Christ, as one who belongs to Christ. And I can hear perhaps objections rising up in your mind, some of you out there, and you're thinking, well, how can you say to the children that you are to obey as those in Christ? Many of the children here perhaps do not have a spiritual union with Christ. So how can you say that they're to obey in Christ? Well, you're right that that's true. Many of the children here perhaps do not have a spiritual union with Christ. But there's not only a spiritual union, but an outward union with Christ. Every baptized child here is joined to Christ outwardly. Christ has claimed you. Christ has put his mark on you, children. He has outwardly joined you to his church, visible in the world. Now, you must own that. You must seek the regenerating work of the Spirit that your baptism points to, that it might be made effective in your life, that you might be spiritually joined unto Christ. But even the unregenerate children here are outwardly joined to Christ if they have been baptized. That's part of the reason why the rejection of a covenant child of the faith is such a serious thing. And Paul here is assuming that. He's assuming that the children are a part of the church, that they're in worship. As he speaks to them, as he's written this letter, and it's going to the church, and it's going to be read out to them, and he says to them, obey your parents in the Lord. And so, dear children, whether you are spiritually joined to Christ or whether it is simply an outward thing for you at this time, you are in Christ in one way or another, and that means that you have particular duties. And here is laid before you the duty of obedience. What is obedience? Well, it's living under the authority of your parents in this context. Living under the authority of your parents. The Greek word has the idea of hearing as a part of it. It is to hear their commands, not just physically, of course, but in a way that you respond to positively. It's trusting them. It's then, of course, doing what they command, but doing what they command not just in isolated incidents, but in a way that shapes your life, in a way that shapes your life as your father is leading your family, shapes it in the direction that he is leading your family. You are to be sensitive to the preferences of your father and mother. You are to have a habit of yielding to them as you look to them for direction, unless they're telling you to sin, which I'm guessing is virtually non-existent in the families represented here. Younger children, very practically, that works out like this. If your parents tell you to do something, you're to do it right away, all the way, with a happy heart. That's not original to me, but it summarizes that obedience. There is not to be any holding back. It's to be right away. It's to be all the way, a full response, not just half-hearted, not just doing it part of the way, but all the way. And it's to be something that comes from the heart. Older children, you are to not only do what I've said already, but this also, as you grow and mature, comes into the areas of seeking the consent and direction of your parents. As you navigate the world and as you grow in your understanding and in your relationships, so going to your parents and receiving their instruction and following it, as you choose your friends, as you think about how do you spend your time, as you think about what you might do with your life, as you think possibly about a spouse. One way to sort of bring all of this in a very clear and simple way is that obedience is like this. Do I do what my parents say and want? Do I stop when they stop? Do I do the things that they tell me to do? But also, this not only includes obedience, but also honor. We're told here, honor your father and mother. And this is a wider concept and also a deeper one. We've already begun to speak of the matters of the heart, but it goes right down into the depths of our... Here is the idea of respect for their position, respect for the position that God has put them in. And as I've mentioned already, this goes on beyond the time when they formally have authority over you and you move out of the house. And this applies then to all of us who have parents in one way or another. It includes a care for your parents. It includes giving your time to them. It includes a weightier consideration of what they say. And of course, these things are often challenging in our fallen world, and particularly today where the family is so broken and messed up. And there will be many challenges for some of us. And for those, I encourage you to come to the elders and seek our counsel. But the basic principle here is one of care and time, of weighty consideration of what your parents say. And for those still at home, this means a certain restraint in how you interact with your parents, looking to them to take the lead, not being rude to them, not speaking with them as if they were your peer. It includes things even like facial expression and tone, and not storming away if you don't like what they're saying. For younger children, You know, it's not just about what you do when your parents say to do something or not to do something, but it's also about your heart. Your attitude, the way you approach your parents, needs to say, my dad, my mom are in charge of me. God has placed them as in charge of me. And I love that. And so I don't want to throw tantrums. I don't want to pout. I don't want to answer back to them. I don't want to say no to them. Doing what you're told with a bad attitude is not enough. Honor looks like a life, looks like actions, looks like words, looks like thoughts that gladly recognizes the authority of your parents. Now, of course, these things are hard for our sinful nature. Our pride, our stubbornness rebels against these things. Our pride, our self-absorption, thinking about what we want, thinking that we know best in a particular circumstance. Our stubbornness often rises up and causes us not to render to our parents the proper yielding that they deserve. But let me remind you, children, young people, that you are Christian children. And when you struggle to obey, if you are regenerate, if you have the Spirit of God in you, then go to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. As you feel that tension in your heart, as you struggle with what your parents are saying to you, use that as an opportunity to go to your Lord and to ask for new resources of grace and strength to obey them. It's a mistake to think about this circumstance that you're in only a horizontal way. It's not just about you and about your parents. You are doing this before the Lord. You are doing this as a Christian child, as one who belongs to Christ. So interact with the situation that way. Use it as an opportunity to rely upon your Lord. If you do not have a new heart, if you don't know, child, what it is to know the Lord Jesus, your struggle to obey is a witness to you that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need any confirmation of that? Do you need any convincing that you need Christ? Well, think about the last time that you struggled to obey your parents. Here is a witness to you of your sin. We're all born with rebellious hearts. And obedience is the lifestyle of the Christian, of the Christian man or woman or child restored in the image of God. And this is why Jesus in his humanity obeyed. There's that absolutely astounding passage or scripture in the Gospel of Luke went with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus Christ, as a man, was subject to his parents. He was perfect. He was the God-man, and he was subject to sinful Joseph and sinful Mary, his human parents. And he was, because this is the lifestyle of a Christian. And this is to be your lifestyle. I don't mean a mindless robotic obedience. Of course, sometimes you will not understand. But submission unto God through Christ is central to the Christian life. And so God has given you, think about this, children, God has given you a training ground for the rest of your life. God has given you a gym to build your spiritual muscles of obedience. Not conformity for conformity's sake, but conformity unto truth, which is conformity unto God in Christ. Obedience is only good, of course, as what you're obeying, who you're obeying. But even though your parents may sometimes be imperfect, they may sometimes be marred by sin, may sometimes even badly be marred by sin. Ultimately, your obedience is to God in Christ as you obey their lawful commands. And your obedience won't destroy you. It will bring out the true you in Christ as you live under his authority. Obedience is not bad. And obedience is not a temporary thing. It's not like something you just do as a child and then you grow up and you never have to worry about it. Your childhood ought to be a boot camp for the battle of obedience to God in Christ throughout your life. And it will immensely help you as you grow in interacting with all sorts of lawful authorities. It is the school that prepares you for the rest of your life. Now, all of this will probably lead you in one of three ways. It will lead you to pride. I wonder if some of you children are listening to this and thinking, well, I'm pretty obedient. You know, I do what my parents say. You know, I can check that box and check that box and check that box. Maybe some of you are thinking like that. Others of you might be hearing this and feeling frustration. I try to do that, but I never seem to succeed. Well, both of those responses really ought to lead you to a third place. They ought to lead you to Christ. He is the one whose perfect record of obedience to his parents outstrips anything that you could do if you think you've got it all under control. And what you need is that perfect standard, not your own. And if you are frustrated, in him, in the Lord Jesus, is found cleansing for your disobedience, is found a new heart that will empower obedience to your parents. Seek Christ, dear children. Seek Christ. Seek Christ for forgiveness. Seek Christ for new power to live in obedience to your parents. You might be thinking, why? As we move to my second point, I'm sure you've asked your parents that many times. Why? And it's not a bad question if you really want to know something and not just using it to argue. It's good to understand what we do. It's good to understand what we do that we might be strengthened against the lies of the world and the devil. And the answer given to us here in the text is first that it is right. You are to obey because it is right. It is according to the way God has designed the world, and it is according to his word. Your parents, children, have given life to you, and you are given into their care. Young children, let me just ask you, who is older, you or your parents? Were you in your mummy's tummy, or was she in yours? Do you buy all the food and clothes and toys and various other things that you need or sometimes want? Or does your dad go out and work hard so that your family can have them? There is a natural order to this. It is built into the way that God has created the world. This obedience is right. And it's a sign of the breakdown of society that we're seeing all around us, that society doesn't even recognize this, that they think this is somehow something strange. throughout world history, this has just been recognized as what is right. And so it should be strange and odd that perhaps your friends don't think like this. Perhaps other children that you see around you don't think like this. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about the mess that is created when people don't honor and worship God. And it talks about how everything falls apart. And one of the things that it talks about is disobedience to parents. But more than that, this is right because it is what God says in his word. Paul quotes in our passage the Ten Commandments, the summary of God's law. And he's bringing together here Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 and both of those renditions of the fifth commandment. But it's not only that, it's the testimony of God's word throughout. You think of the condemnation of Ham, Noah's son, who didn't honor him. We think of Proverbs and various places we've already read, or perhaps like chapter 1 where it says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Or Proverbs 7, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." Paul, speaking to Timothy, says that people who have a form of godliness but deny its power, one of the characteristics of them is that they disobey parents. God's word could not be clearer on this subject. Children are to obey parents. They are to honor them. This is right. This may not be popular in our day. It may not be what other people your age, children, are doing. It may not be what you're told is right by the world, but it is, because this is the way God has designed the world, and because this is what he says is right in his word. God says that obedience is right. You may feel like something else is more important, but you should not be confused. Obedience is right, disobedience is wrong. And then thirdly, though, we don't just stop there. The one is that here is given wonderful encouragement to you. What God commands is good. What God commands leads to blessing. You know, from the beginning, the devil's lie was that God doesn't want what's good for you. Do you remember, children, what he said to Eve in the garden? He said that, yeah, God said that you'll die if you eat this fruit, but you will not die. God's not really serious about that. Perhaps he's not telling the truth. In fact, good things will happen to you if you disobey. Disobedience leads to good things. That's what the devil was saying. But we know that that wasn't right. That's not what happened. It led to God's judgment. The lie of the devil has always been that God doesn't want what's good for you. Disobedience is actually better. But that's not true. What God commands is good. What God commands leads to blessing. Disobedience rather leads to his judgment. And here what we see is that obedience to your parents, obedience to God in it, leads to what is good, what is well for you. It says it shall be well with you, which means that you shall be a well-adjusted member of society, as it were. Obedience will prepare you well to interact with all sorts of authorities in society. It will also give you the patience that you need. It will give you wisdom on how to deal with various circumstances, both as your parents tell you things, but then as you interact with them. It will give you self-control as you hold back your natural desires and bring them under your parents' desires. It will teach you discipline. All these things are out of fashion, but they are so needful for life. And of course, this isn't an absolute promise. There are plenty of godly children who have died early or who have been despised or bullied. But ordinarily, it will be well with you. you will develop good and godly habits. You will develop good and godly friendships and ways of thinking, and you will be saved from bad habits and bad friendships and bad ways of thinking and unwise choices. And the effects of these things will continue on into eternity. Moreover, the blessing here is of long life. The promise is adjusted from what the Old Testament says upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you to long on the earth. It's applying it to all the nations of the world. And again, godly parents will teach you good things which will preserve your life, even things such like eating well, dealing honestly with people, being responsible, being upright, obeying the law. All these things actually preserve life and will improve life chances. But more than that, the land of Canaan was a picture of heaven and ultimately the restored creation. And obedience to parents, honoring parents, of course, does not earn anyone heaven. But it is the way that children are to walk as they journey towards heaven. It is the pathway that you are to take to heaven. Children, obedience to your parents is one of the chief ways that you obey God, that you evidence your love for Christ, and therefore grow in your assurance of heaven. More than that, children, there will be blessings in heaven for your obedience. And this is helpful even sometimes when your parents might be wrong. Yet you obey, because they're not saying anything sinful. You obey, and there will be blessings in heaven. This might be helpful to children who have particularly unbelieving parents, if there's children listening online. Obedience should not be a drudgery. Obedience is something that God says is good, is something that God promises blessing as a result of. If you give yourself to obeying God through obeying your parents, children, you will never truly be less well off. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is really for your good? Do you believe that this will really lead to your blessing? That's what this is saying. Well, how do we apply these things? Well, of course, one obvious application is, children, obey and honor your parents. How do you do that? Pray. Pray regularly. Pray every day that you would be enabled to obey. Think about it properly. This is right. Remind yourself about that. Remind that this is something that will bring blessing. Hear what your parents say and do it. Honor them with your eyes, with your words, with your tone, with your attitude. Search out things about your parents that you can love and respect. Ask your parents how you can improve in honoring them and obeying them. And again, pray. Bathe all of this in prayer. You belong to Christ, and so this is your duty for Him. This is a major part of your godliness. You know, when you think about being godly, particularly teenagers, you know, it is personal devotions, it's speaking about the things of God, it's all these things, but if you're ignoring honoring and obeying your parents, then there's something out of joint there. And it's a witness to the world. Honor and obedience is powerful. Ideally, it should be bringing you into step with the unit that your family is as you wage war together against the world and against the devil. But even if you're not a part of a godly family, you may win a parent through it, or you may prevent Satan from getting a foothold in your life. Children, where you have not been obeying, repent and let your disobedience drive you to Christ, whether it's for the first time or again. Parents, Help your children in obeying. Be wise in how you use your authority. Be measured and be calm. Love your children. Show them your love. Demonstrate your love. Tell them that you love them. Repent yourself, even to your children, modeling it for them if that's needed. Be an example of what you command so that they have something to follow. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength so that your children might as well. Pray with and for them and aim at their heart. Parents, of course, must establish their authority and uphold it. And this teaching should give you much boldness in this. It is right that your parent or your children should obey you. It's not a favor that they're giving to you. It's not the result of your skilled manipulation, but it's right. And it's for their good. All of us, pray for the children amongst us. Pray that they would be enabled to obey their parents. Encourage them in it. And finally, for all of us, rejoice in the goodness of obedience and rejoice in the goodness of our God. Obedience is a good thing. Obedience is a blessed thing. Rejoice in that. And rejoice in the fact that God commands what is good for us. Rejoice in the grace that that shows in his character, the kindness that that shows in his character. He is gracious to give us much incentive to do what he commands. He condescends to our weakness. Marvel at that. Wonder at that. Enjoy this good God who tells us to do what is good for us. And worship him. Worship this good God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we pray that you would indeed help all of us to obey those authorities that you have placed in our lives and to obey you above all, to recognize that obedience is the way that you have shown us, the way that you have modeled for us, Lord Jesus. And we pray particularly for Christian children that you would enable them to honor their parents, to obey their parents, and to know the blessing that you promise. Make us a church that encourages them along this sometimes hard and difficult path. May we be a church, may we be families that molds them and shapes them and nourishes them in this good way. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.